Recovery Radio, KMP3000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio Podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Go to my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com. If you get the books, go to sarcasticbigbook.com, or just go to Amazon. And as always, I am so glad you're here with me. I don't know if you guys just getting started or it's just winding down or it's somewhere right in the middle, but here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. Grateful I have no desire to drink today. And I do have my regular coffee here with me. You know what it is. I don't have to tell you. Who cares? Well, I do. Maybe you do too. Today I just want to share with you my absolute love of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I was literally raised in Alcoholics Anonymous. The people at Alcoholics Anonymous raised me. I'm not exaggerating. The people in Alcoholics Anonymous, since I was 18 years old, even younger, have been my family, my moms and dads and brothers and sisters, and they've really raised me. When I started going to meetings, I was a complete disaster in every way you can imagine it. I mean, it's just filled with hatred and rage and cynicism, and that doesn't even, I'm not even talking about the drinking. I mean, I was just a mess. Afraid of everything, filled with real venom and an atheist. And the people in meetings raised me. Sitting here thinking about this and talking about this, there's so many people that come to mind. These gentle men and women, and not so gentle men and women, who served as parental figures. I didn't know how to look for a job. I didn't know how to be polite. I didn't know anything. And when I first started going for myself, really, I had to dig deep and make myself go. Nobody was helping me go. I never went to treatment. I didn't have anybody in my life who would give me a ride at that point. And it took a lot. I'm not going to lie. It took a lot to go to my second meeting, let alone start going on a regular basis. So many things happen with this. People in meetings where God worked through them and led me to a place where I started going on a regular basis. I started going to meetings on a regular basis in 1989. This week, I've gone to 7 meetings. I love meetings. I've talked about it on here, Tradition 3. And how the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. It's none of anybody's business whether or not it's an honest desire. The 12 and 12 talks about this. If you've decided you're a member of AA, then you're a member of AA, period. That's it. Nobody can throw you out. You can be thrown out of meetings, but you cannot be thrown out of AA. You're a member as soon as you say you are. That's it. And for that reason, meetings are sometimes filled with all kinds of stuff that doesn't seem valuable or seem to help anyone or doesn't seem to be the way I want it to look or sound or, you know, there's things. There's a lot of sickness in Alcoholics Anonymous. But the reason that's there is because Alcoholics Anonymous itself, going back to Tradition 3, is so beautiful. It's so loving and open and compassionate. It's so beautiful that AA is sometimes gross. But it's only ugly because it's so gorgeous. It lets everyone in. I love going to sit in a meeting hall, whether it's in a church or a school or some other kind of building. I love it. I love everything about it. Those rooms saved my life. I was talking to somebody about this a couple of nights ago, about how good it feels to sit in a meeting and to be there, how good it can feel to be going. I've had so many relationships with meetings over the years. I've hated them. I've resented my way out of them. I've had to make amends to them. I've been infatuated with them. I've been in love with them. I've been married to them. I've had affairs with them. I mean, every relationship you can imagine having with AA meetings, I feel like I've had. But it's been a long time now since I've had any relationship with meetings other than I love you. I love AA meetings. I don't know how an AA meeting is supposed to go. If I think I do, I'm not in step 3. If I think I know how AA meeting is supposed to look, I'm living out page 60 to 62. I don't know. If I know how people are supposed to sound or what they're supposed to share, what they're supposed to say, I am nothing more than the director trying to arrange the rest of the players my own way, good motives. I don't know. I don't care. I guess that's the beautiful part for me now, is I don't care how a meeting goes. I mean, sometimes I still struggle. Shouldn't say I flatly don't care. Sometimes I go to meetings, but I know if I'm having a hard time with the meeting, it has nothing to do with the meeting. I'm really clear on that now. I do not know who's supposed to hear what, when, who's listening to what. I think I talked about it on here years ago. The very first thing that I heard in a meeting that was so profound to me was this man said, there's traffic on the 405, but I don't have to drink over that. The 405 is a freeway in Southern California that I never drove on at that point in my life. I mean, the details had nothing to do with my life. But he said, there's traffic on the 405 and I don't have to drink over that. And it just blew my mind. I mean, I walked around for weeks just, there's traffic on the 405, but I don't have to drink over that. It was so profound to me. Who the hell am I to know who needs to hear what? And what is God working through somebody to reach someone else? I don't know. Who cares? It's my business. I've also talked about it on here how, like, when I started going to meetings out of town, they were all incredible. All the meetings I went to out of town were just phenomenal meetings, just the best meetings in the world. I couldn't believe it. No matter where I went, they were so good. Tucson, Arizona, Amarillo, Texas, Las Vegas, Nevada, wherever I went to a meeting, it was always just astonishingly profound. And then I came to learn that the reason why I was having that experience is because I didn't know anybody there. So I was listening to what they were saying instead of who they were. My ego was not involved. I just love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love it. I love Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I just love them. I love everything about them. I really do. I love them so much. Such an honor to be able to go to an AA meeting. I really feel that way. The people in those meetings, they're the most incredible people I've ever known in my life anywhere. The people in those meetings. And going back to that tradition, tradition three, it is like, and I've talked about this on here, but I think about it a lot because it's so warm and welcoming and so tolerating, so loving to everyone. Because Tradition 3 lets everyone in, AA meetings are really nothing more than a mirror held up to my face. Because everything's there. Since everything's there, I'll find whatever I'm looking for. If I'm looking for the voice of God, I'll find it. If I'm looking for a reason to never come back to AA, I'll find it. If I'm looking for complete wall-to-wall bullshit, I'll find it. If I'm looking for a lifelong friend, I'll find them. If I'm looking for somebody to help, I'll find them. Everything is there. And it's just so beautiful. I think. I love the smells. I love the sounds. I love the sounds before a meeting. I love the sounds after meeting. I love it. I love AA meetings. I love AA meetings so much. These days I go to AA meetings because for a lot of reasons. I care about the people there. I want to help. It's my family. It saved my life. And I owe it everything. Everything. Take away AA meetings, I have nothing in my life. I would have nothing had it not been for AA meetings. Saved my life. Shout out today to Mallory, to Richard, to Katie. Special shout out to Chelsea, to Dave. And if anybody needs to hear it, everything is okay. I do not know why my life was saved, but I'm going to go try to live a life that was worth saving, and I hope you'll do the same.